This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about go-to-market in calendar weeks 12 and 13. Frenis is a B2B market research partner helping ICT and tech providers identify niche channel partners by compressing the full journey from identification to qualified first meeting into 4 to 5 weeks. You can find more info in the description.
All right, so let's get into it.
Yeah, welcome everyone to the deep dive.
Yeah.
So imagine a marketing department that, well, never sleeps, runs entirely inside a handful of command line terminal windows, and just earned its human architect a $50,000 salary bump.
Which is just wild to think about.
Right. I mean, if you are building a B2B revenue team right now, the sheer volume of marketing tech hype you are being bombarded with is likely deafening. So we've been analyzing the absolute top go-to-market trends across LinkedIn over the past 2 weeks, specifically calendar weeks 12 and 13.
And there is a lot of noise out there right now.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to cut entirely through that noise for you. We are looking at the fundamental architectural rewiring of the 2026 revenue engine.
Yeah, and the trajectory we are seeing in these discussions is incredibly sharp. I mean, we are moving far beyond the era of AI as just a simple writing assistant.
Like a glorified spell checker.
Right, exactly. We are looking at a landscape where autonomous agents actually act as the execution engine. And that requires a totally new technical discipline, what the industry is now calling GTM engineering.
Which we'll definitely get into.
Oh, absolutely. But perhaps the most critical thread we'll pull on today is how plugging these hyper-efficient systems into, you know, legacy commercial models is exposing catastrophic cracks in how modern companies operate.
So let's actually start with that shift in the AI deployment model, because we used to treat artificial intelligence like a highly caffeinated intern you had to micromanage, or like a calculator.
Yeah, punch in a prompt, get an output.
Right. You get a single output, and then you have to manually move that output into your workflow.
Yeah.
But Daniel Solcerini points out in his recent analysis that AI is now operating much more like a thermostat.
A thermostat. I like that analogy.
Yeah. You set the desired state, like your revenue target or your pipeline quota, and agentic GTM systems automatically turn various APIs, scraping tools, and outreach channels on and off in the background to achieve that state.
So it's an entire operating system, basically.
Exactly. Not just a cold email generator.
And that distinction between, you know, a tool you log into and an environment you orchestrate is central here. Joyce G actually provided a phenomenal look under the hood of what this looks like in practice.
Oh, yeah. The terminal windows poke.
Right. She didn't just ask an LLM to write a blog post. She built 4 parallel workflows, turning Claude code into a comprehensive GTM execution layer.
Wait, hold on. 4 workflows in parallel?
Yes. She's literally running 3 to 5 terminal windows simultaneously.
I mean, as someone who works in go-to-market strategy, the idea of running command line interfaces terrifies me. Is this realistic for standard revenue teams, or is this just like a parlor trick for highly technical founders?
Well, it's becoming the standard because of the sheer leverage it provides. Yeah. What Joyce is doing in those terminals is orchestrating parallel autonomous sessions. So one AI agent is querying search engines to scrape page 1 rankings and identify keyword gaps.
Okay, all in the background.
Right. And at the exact same time, in a separate terminal, another agent is drafting a 1,500-word piece based on yesterday's data. Meanwhile, a third agent is pushing an approved piece live via a CMS API.
And pulling analytics, right?
Exactly. Pulling Google Search Console analytics to measure the impact. The human isn't writing or publishing. The human is simply reviewing the terminal outputs and, you know, authorizing the next operational loop.
The compression of time there is what completely changes the unit economics of a marketing team. I mean, Hosen Chung shared a workflow that essentially algorithmizes competitive intelligence in a similar way.
Oh, the battle card setup. That was impressive.
Right. Instead of an analyst spending days building a battle card, Chun's AI agent pulls real-time data from G2, Ahrefs, Builtwith, and Owler simultaneously.
It just scrapes the whole software stack.
Exactly. It parses their software stacks, identifies their backlink vulnerabilities, and formats a usable sales battle card in like 15 minutes.
But if we're talking about complex, multi-layered operations, Brittany Duffy's setup is the absolute extreme end of this spectrum.
Oh, for sure. She built a synthetic organization.
Yes. The multi-agent database architecture.
This is where we move from just automation to true autonomous operations.
Precisely. She structured a system commanded by a chief of staff agent. So as the human operator, you only interact with the chief of staff.
You just give it the high-level strategy.
Right. You feed it a high-level strategic directive, And that central agent parses your intent and delegates tasks to four specialized scoped domain agents. So there's one strictly for market research, one for ops, one for design, and one for reliability testing. And the fascinating part is the mechanics of how they talk to each other.
Yes, the central SQLite database.
All right. They all share this database. So the market research agent populates a table with ICP data, and the design agent automatically detects that new data and begins generating assets tailored to those specific firmographics.
Without the human ever bridging the gap, that is insane.
And if we look at the downstream impact of that architecture, you know, it fundamentally alters the human sales floor. Frank Saunders is applying this closed-loop system to the unglamorous, highly manual work that SDRs notoriously neglect.
The stalled MQLs.
Exactly. He deployed a voice AI system he calls Agent Frank to tackle stalled inbound MQLs, missed demos, and churned accounts.
So an actual voice agent calling people.
Yes. The voice agent handles the real-time dynamic conversation. It parses the prospect's objections, updates the CRM via API, and then either rebooks the meeting or disqualifies the lead.
So the AI handles the entire flywheel of execution.
Exactly. And the humans are left to do what humans actually do best, which is handling complex negotiations and building strategic relationships.
Which, you know, brings us to the human capital side of this whole equation. If the execution layer now lives in terminal windows, shared databases, and API webhooks, standard marketing ops professionals simply do not have the technical chops to build this.
No, they don't. Which explains the explosion of the GTM engineer role we've been tracking.
Right. But I have to push back a little on the longevity of this trend. We're seeing Maja Vogé and Matt Firestone report that technical GTM engineers are pulling in median salaries between $135,000 and $150,000.
Yeah, which is a massive $50,000 premium over traditional marketing ops.
Right. But isn't that massive salary bump just a temporary tax on early adoption? Like, once these AI tools roll out user-friendly drag-and-drop interfaces next year, won't the engineer title just become obsolete?
Well, that is a really common assumption, but the underlying architectural complexity suggests otherwise. I mean, a drag-and-drop UI can help you build a simple email sequence, sure.
Right.
But enterprise routing requires secure infrastructure, complex data enrichment waterfalls, and custom API connections that don't just break when a platform updates its endpoints.
So it requires a true engineering mindset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Yuri Orlov actually contextualized this brilliantly by digging into organizational theory from the 1970s.
Boundary spanning theory. I am always down for applying 1970s organizational theory to 2026 tech stacks.
Right. It's so relevant. So the theory dictates that as internal departments within a company become highly specialized, they start using their own unique jargon, metrics, and tools.
And a massive information asymmetry develops between them.
Exactly. They essentially lose the ability to communicate. In the 70s, this required specialized human boundary spanners to translate between, say, R&D and manufacturing.
Okay, and today?
Today, the revenue function has gone entirely digital, which creates a massive complexity gap between commercial strategy and technical execution.
Because sales, marketing, and product are specialized silos operating on totally different data models.
Yes. So Yuri argues that GTM engineering isn't some vendor-invented buzzword to sell software. It is an organizational inevitability.
You need a highly technical architect to build the bridges that allow data to flow between those silos.
Exactly.
That reframes the role entirely. And it aligns closely with Akintunde Opalai's argument that the title should actually be sales architect.
Right, because the AI is the engineer now.
Exactly. The AI writes the Python scripts, generates the API calls, and executes the data transformations. The human is the architect sitting above the code designing the blueprint.
And we are seeing that exact split between design and execution play out in the tooling stack right now. Jacob Tuener highlighted the emerging dynamic between platforms like Claude Code and Clay.
Oh yeah, Claude is the design layer.
Right. Claude is functioning as the design and logic layer. You talk to it, describe your strategic intent, and it generates the programmatic logic.
But Clay remains the enterprise execution layer.
Exactly. You still need that robust, secure infrastructure to handle complex data enrichment without hallucinating or, you know, breaking data privacy compliance.
And what's remarkable is that this architectural revolution isn't geographically centralized in Silicon Valley anymore. Tim Carden and Fernando C. have been documenting how Europe, and particularly France, is quietly building a massive GTM software empire.
Yeah, the numbers out of Paris are wild.
Paris alone has 12 major GTM tools. And across Europe, there are 31 platforms aggressively challenging U.S. dominance. We're talking about companies like Lemlist, Folk, and La Growth Machine pushing the boundaries of autonomous outreach.
And, you know, with that explosion of tooling, the immediate assumption is that marketing budgets must be spiraling out of control to afford all these platforms.
Yeah, for sure.
But the mark of a true GTM engineer is actually technical frugality. Jorge B. Macias made a compelling point that you can actually gauge an architect's seniority by their software budget.
Wait, really? By how little they spend?
Yes. A disciplined architect keeps their entire stack's cost between just $500 and $1,000 a month.
That is incredibly low for an enterprise engine.
Because they don't just buy out-of-the-box SaaS subscriptions. They utilize APIs efficiently, cache data to prevent redundant API calls, and deeply understand token optimization when prompting LLMs.
Right. But, okay, if API calls are that cheap and these agents are that efficient, what happens when you plug a hyper-efficient execution engine into a fundamentally broken commercial strategy?
Well, that is exactly where the wheels are falling off for a lot of companies right now.
Yeah, Eddie Reynolds has been very vocal about what he calls GTM FOMO. Leadership teams just feel the pressure to adopt AI, so they scramble to layer autonomous agents on top of their existing processes.
Which just amplifies their current dysfunctions at light speed.
Exactly. And Adam Jay echoed that exact sentiment. He stated plainly, "Your GTM isn't broken. It was never built right in the first place."
You cannot scale a foundation that was never engineered to scale.
Right. If your product positioning is weak or your sales team is misaligned with your marketing messaging, adding a multi-agent AI system just scales the noise. It automates the generation of highly personalized, incredibly articulate garbage.
Which brings us to the concept of semantic data layers and what Hillotterbach calls context engineering.
Context engineering, right.
It's one thing to say, you know, AI needs context to avoid hallucinating, but the technical reality of providing that context is where teams fail.
Because if marketing needs the general manager's approval to publish a blog, but sales reps are out pitching their own rogue version of the roadmap, there's no shared reality.
Exactly. So context engineering is the discipline of forcing the entire organization to align on a single, mathematically verifiable, ideal customer profile and structuring that data so an LLM can actually comprehend it.
And the mechanics of how you structure that data are critical. Doe Wester advocates for a forcing function he calls the one-page GTMOS.
Oh, I loved that post. Abandoning the gut feelings and vibes.
Right. Start with evidence, not vibes. You run an analysis on the top 20% of your current customer base, looking strictly at revenue retained and lowest cost of acquisition.
You map the actual buyer journey based on deals that mathematically closed.
Yes, not the theoretical funnel your marketing team drew on a whiteboard. You distill the ICP, the verified value prop, and the proven activation channels onto a single page. Because if your core strategy requires a 40-slide deck to explain, your agents will fail to execute it.
But then, once you have that crystallized strategy, you face the technical hurdle of feeding it to the AI.
Right. You can't just dump your entire product documentation repository into an LMM context window and expect flawless execution.
No, definitely not. Lawrence Nice issued a fantastic technical warning about a phenomenon called context rot.
Context rot. I mean, that is a brilliant way to describe the degradation of LLM performance when it's overwhelmed with data.
It really is. It comes down to how vector databases and token limits actually work. I mean, a human can open a 200-page manual, scan the table of contents, and skip straight to page 140 in seconds.
But an AI does not read like that.
Exactly. When you feed an AI a massive data set, it holds all of those tokens in its active memory. The more noise you introduce, the higher the probability it loses the signal and begins hallucinating connections that don't exist.
So how do you prevent context rot while still giving the agent enough data to do its job?
Lawrence advocates for a system design called progressive disclosure. Instead of dumping raw data into the prompt, you build a semantic architecture.
So you provide the agent with a top-level navigation hub.
Right. Essentially a summary of what information exists and where to find it. The agent is prompted to evaluate the specific task, consult the hub, and then query the vector database only for the specific, granular, deep dive chunks it requires at that exact millisecond.
It retrieves the context, executes the task, and flushes its memory.
Exactly, preserving its token limits for the next action.
That level of architectural discipline is staggering. It completely flips the script on what we consider AI implementation. We aren't really implementing AI. We are fundamentally cleaning up our own data so the AI can function.
Yes. And Brendan Short recently published a study of 11 growth stage companies that successfully built internal GTM agents, and his findings support this entirely.
Yeah, the dirty secret of these highly advanced revenue teams, right?
Exactly. The actual work wasn't advanced prompt engineering. The heavy lifting was basic data hygiene.
Which makes total sense. If your CRM is riddled with duplicate accounts and your third-party enrichment data is stale, you're entirely unready for agentic deployment.
And Brendan noted something fascinating about how these teams generate the requirements documentation for their AI agents.
They don't write complex technical specs.
No. The requirement doc is simply shadow your best rep.
Shadowing the rep to extract the disqualification signals. It's so elegant. You don't ask the AI to invent a new sales motion. You monitor your top performing account executive.
Right. You document the exact data points that make them lean into a deal and the specific red flags that make them disqualify a lead within 5 minutes.
You encode those human heuristics into the agent's logic layer. So the AI simply scales the proven human intuition at a machine pace.
And that dynamic between the technology scaling the human intuition highlights a structural shift in how we think about competitive moats.
Oh, this brings up the Gabriel Goy analogy.
Yes, the analogy regarding satellite broadband that perfectly captures this. He compared Elon Musk's Starlink to Amazon's Project Kuiper, or Amazon Leo.
Right, so Starlink has thousands of satellites in orbit. It's massive bleeding-edge infrastructure.
But Amazon has a fraction of that. So if you view the market purely through the lens of technology, Starlink possesses the ultimate advantage.
But Amazon possesses the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because Starlink is ultimately just selling the pipe, the raw internet connection.
Exactly. Every satellite they launch has to mathematically pay for itself through subscription revenue.
But Amazon, on the other hand, views the pipe as a loss leader. They use the satellite connection as a cheap customer acquisition channel to pull rural or disconnected users directly into the highly profitable Amazon ecosystem, like Prime, AWS smart home integration.
So the technology stack itself is becoming a commodity.
The infrastructure is the commodity. The go-to-market is the moat.
Right. In our world, the LLMs, the scraping APIs, the parallel terminal workflows, those are just the pipe. Every company will have access to the exact same AI capabilities.
So the true differentiator is your deep, nuanced understanding of your customers' pain points and the proprietary ecosystem of value you build around them.
Exactly. And this shifts the entire paradigm of organizational design. If the technology is a commodity that handles the execution, how do you structure the human team around it?
Well, Stefan Mays argued that if you are rebuilding a go-to-market system today, you must completely stop mapping job roles.
Yes. You don't draw an org chart with an SDR, a content marketer, and an account executive. You map task categories.
Because AI does not replace a job title. It obliterates a task category.
That is the crucial distinction. Instead of hiring a traditional SDR layer to grind out cold calls, your AI system handles the task category of prospecting.
Right. The agents monitor the internet for intent signals, cross-reference that against your one-page GTM OS, and draft highly contextualized outreach.
And the human account executive only steps into the loop when a prospect replies and demonstrates intent.
The human converts the conversation. They do not generate it. This structural shift allows hyper-lean teams to operate with the pipeline generation capacity of an enterprise organization.
And we saw the ultimate proof of this leverage in Mark Hardy's recent breakdown.
The Series B raise.
Yes. He detailed how a tiny, small but mighty GTM ops team utilized platforms like Clay and Claude Code to operate like a team 5 times its physical size.
By mapping tasks instead of roles and keeping their data ruthlessly clean.
Exactly. This micro team doubled their outbound sourced pipeline and successfully powered an $80 million Series B raise.
An $80 million raise, entirely driven by a fractional team armed with autonomous agents and pristine data hygiene. That is just incredible.
It is the new baseline for B2B performance, but, you know, it also presents a looming existential challenge for revenue leaders that we have yet to fully grapple with.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we are celebrating the fact that AI is commoditizing execution. Mm. Any rep at any company can now spin up an agent to generate perfectly researched, flawlessly personalized outreach in seconds.
Right.
But we are ignoring the other side of the equation.
The buyers.
The buyers. If marketers are building hyper-efficient AI agents to send perfect outreach, buyers will inevitably deploy their own AI gatekeepers to filter it out.
Wow, yeah.
We are rapidly approaching a reality where our meticulously crafted go-to-market bots are exclusively pitching to enterprise procurement bots.
So a completely synthetic top of funnel.
Exactly. When both sides possess infinite operational leverage, traditional outbound marketing cancels itself out entirely. If the tech is perfectly equal on both sides of the transaction, the only thing that will bypass an AI gatekeeper is genuine, unfakeable human trust.
And proprietary data that the LLMs haven't already trained on.
Exactly. That is the real challenge for 2026.
Bots negotiating with bots, leaving humans to only deal with the final handshake. That is a wild reality to prepare for.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, social selling, and AI in B2B marketing. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of modern go-to-market. Don't forget to subscribe, take a hard look at your data foundations, and we will catch you on the next one.